Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Taken from 1 Thessalonians 1-10. Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be to you. Thanksgiving for the Thessalonian faith. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember you, we remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe sufferings with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you in church. Welcome. My name's Keith. I serve here. It's a real privilege to do that. I just wanted to point out, if you went here last week, we have new fridge magnets for the year for our motto verse. It's online, the recorded service last week. And so it's very urgent, as you can see. And Paul says, live lives worthy of God. I've taken it from Thessalonians. Live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And the whole motto is about save to follow. So please take them at the back at the tea table. If they run out, then I have some more. And I reckoned on about 100 fridges that I do in the church. And so I won't say the joke I did last week, so no one got it. But it's good to pray. We have a lot of people who can't make it through frailty or other. Interesting, Rachel, you mentioned Ruth Edgecombe. I was with Ruth on Friday. Alan's increasingly frail and it's difficult for concentration. So pray for Ruth and Alan, a dad who she lives with, and others like Elena and Mari, etc. There's a growing list of people. And I was encouraged last week, so I put out a call that could there be someone that could see it on their heart to visit and call these people. And we've had a couple of folk who would like to coordinate this, but they need people to do calls and to encourage those who can't be with us. And often those sort of people don't have the technology to catch up online as well, so it's a bit of a double thing. And so they do need people with skin on to speak to and to talk to. So let me pray. We're starting a new series today, so if you're here for the first time, welcome. It's a great time to come. We're starting a series on a letter to a very, very, very new church full of brand new puppy Christians who really are under pressure. So let's just pray and then we'll start. Okay, Lord, thank you so much that you are always at work. And we sang that song. And frankly, it's not easy when, whether it's through issues past or present or the fear of the future, Lord, so often that can paralyze us in the sense of moving forward and walking with you. So I just pray, Lord God, that we would see something of you that we've never seen before, that you draw us, Holy Spirit, into a deeper, a more real, authentic, earthy, day-to-day relationship, walk with you, that we would know you are with us, that the songs that we sing and the verses we hear would travel from that short distance from our minds to our heart, and that would change everything we say and do. Lord, might it be that the reality of Christ in us, God with us, the Spirit at work within us, Lord, might it be that simple reality, profound reality, might be a game changer for us, each one, as we challenge and face the challenges of every day, just simply surviving in many cases, just the onslaught of life. We think particularly of Tony Hall in hospital as he's having the operation probably now as we worship. I pray that, Lord, he would meet you in that place, that, Lord, he would sense your real presence, that you would save his skillful hands that he uses to serve you in his business. Lord, that you'd be with Beth, and thank you so much for the whole family, Lord, for Joe and Emily, and just really pray that you would just bless them and encourage them. And as those songs we sang today, thank you that they're amongst us today, that the truths of those songs would really mean something to all of us, to them, and that would be encouraged as we partake in this time together that you've ordained in your wisdom, that we might gain perspective. Lord, just encourage us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to read a psalm to you, a very short psalm, one of my favorite psalms. And it's probably a favorite psalm of many people who just feel, oh, under the cosh. I don't know how many people here feel, gosh, what can anything else or something like that, or just life goes on, doesn't it? Psalm 121. Just listen if you haven't got your Bible, but I'd encourage you to bring that. But it says this: I lift up my eyes to the mountains, to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. It's going, isn't it? But he's not going to let your foot slip. He who watches over you, he doesn't sleep. He's not going to slumber, so you can. It's okay. He doesn't sleep. He does not slumber, he who watches over you. Indeed, he who watches over all of his people will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, him, watches over you. The Lord is your shade when it's really, really hot. He's your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord is going to keep you from harm, ultimately, your life's in eternity with him. He will watch over your life. He's not surprised by anything that is going on. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. So this is a forever truth. I find that incredibly encouraging, that my God is that interested in me. And that would have been a psalm that the Apostle Paul, who had the Old Testament as his Bible, that would have been a psalm that Paul would have known. Maybe he would have even sung along to in the synagogue or in the temple, or they would have known that psalm. And so Paul knew this. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a great missionary who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, inspired by God, if you didn't know that. And this is a great psalm, and it's encouraged literally millions and millions and millions of people, of God's people, down the years. It's appeared on fridge magnets, probably some part of it at least. And it's encouraged people down the centuries when life just seems too much. Just that security of knowing there is one who is not surprised, who doesn't leave us, who doesn't fall asleep on watch and say, oh, crumbs, I missed that, sorry. Brief me about what happened to you yesterday. He's not like that. And it's so wonderful. And it's a psalm that Paul would have known. And also this young church. This church is like months old. Paul is writing to a church in a place called Thessalonica. You can still go there on your holiday. Great. I've not actually been. I think it's somewhere. Yeah. But Thessalonica, Paul was a missionary. And the church was a young church. It was made up of just like us, of some really different people. And I say that in a really respectful way. Because where else do you get people who are like youngsters and then people who are 90 or whatever it might be, and people with different interests gathering together to worship the same God? There's something beautiful about the gathering of God's people. That's why it's so important to contact people who can't come regularly amongst us. But they were quite a mixed bunch. In fact, Luke tells us about it. We don't have to guess what they were made up in originally, the church. They were a mixed bunch. It tells us about this journey when Paul first started the church. In Acts chapter 17, Luke wrote that book, and he says this: Paul and his companions, he's got Silas and Timothy with him, They passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue, a place of worship. Let's see what's going on. So as was Paul's custom, he went into this synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, on three Saturdays then, he reasoned with them. He picked up the Bible that they knew, the Old Testament. He reasoned from the scriptures, and he explained that the Messiah, Jesus, had to suffer, because they had a real problem with Jesus being crucified, the people he was preaching to. He says, no, he had to. So he went back into their Bible and said, look, can't you see, this is what it said. And he was reasoning, and he said that Jesus had to rise from the dead, and this Jesus that I'm talking to you about today, I'm proclaiming to you, he is the Messiah. And what does Luke tell us? What happened? Well, it was great. The Holy Spirit was at work, just as he said he would be after Pentecost. At work, going out into the preached word. And it said, some of the Jews, who were already God-fearers but didn't really recognize Jesus, they were persuaded, I want to follow Jesus too. And they joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks. These were people who had all sorts of philosophies and temples, but, you know, they're kind of like the organized bit of the religion of Judaism, but Jesus sounds really, really amazing. I need to find out more. So Jews and God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. So these were profile women. That's good, isn't it? Really great. So you've got this mix of a church. Really a real mix here in this church. And this is where it all started. And Paul was a few weeks in. And it was going great, and within about 2 years, they had 10,000 people, and they had their own TV channel and everything. It was just amazing. No. Not happened. Within a few weeks, Paul and his companions were kicked. They had to leave. They had to leave the city. It says this, Luke tells us the rest of the story. They'd only literally been there. So you can imagine some puppy Christians. They've just been taught a few things. They know they want to follow Jesus. And they also know they've been taught a really important thing early, which I was, and often we don't do this. They've been taught that this King Jesus they're going to now follow, who was crucified and rose again, he's coming back. Hallelujah. He's coming back. That was like the ABC. This was like the ABC of being a Christian. Coming back wasn't like a really complex subject way down the line. This was at the beginning. You're a baby Christian. You need to know King Jesus is coming back. And I'm going to tell you that. And then it says here, though, when they start, imagine standing up. I want you to imagine this, where Caesar's in charge. He kills you if you tell him that he's not. And there's only one God who is the big God of the Old Testament as far as the Jews were concerned. And then you stand up and say, there's a new king. We've all got to follow. It's King Jesus. That's going to go down really badly in Thessalonica, where the Romans really are. I've got a bit of a, they're a bit paranoid about being in charge. So Luke says this. Other Jews were jealous. There you go. They rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace. They formed a mob. They started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house. See, famous Jason. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. This is unsettling our religious life. You know, can I say God doesn't do religion? He doesn't do dull. God does new life. I've come to life in abundance. That's what he does. And they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, these men have caused trouble all over the world. They've been causing trouble all over the world. And guess what? They're now here. This is amazing. Well, obviously they are. And this Jason is not as nice as I was doing. He might have been really cool, because he's really good at this Jason. He's cool because he welcomes Paul and Silas into his house. Sorry, Jason, this is really bad, isn't it, for me? But they really get the crowd on side then. These people are opposing Christians, these baby Christians. Guess what they're doing as well? Do you know what these new Christians are doing? They're defying Caesar's decrees. They're saying there's another king. Can you imagine it? They're saying there's another king called King Jesus. So what happened? Big deal. When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into a tiz, turmoil. They made Jason and the others bail, make bail, post bond, and they let them go. Anyway, far too dangerous for Paul and Silas, who'd formed the church. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to the next place, Berea. Can I just say, do you notice what the riot was about? The riot wasn't about these guys are going to the synagogue. These guys are going to church. They've got some weird belief about some irrelevant guy. The thing that caused the riot was there is a new king and a new kingdom they're following, and that's the key thing of the gospel that they were causing all sorts of chaos for here in the New Testament. It was about following a new king. They didn't turn up and just say, these guys are going to heaven. We're really cross about that. They're all saved. It was, they're actually turning the place upside down. They're saying there's a new king, a new ruler, a new boss. This is crazy. Can I just say, if we want to get people's attention in the office and influence them for Christ, I don't know if you're a Christ follower yet, telling people you go to church on Sunday might not actually get too much. Good for you. I honestly feel, this is why the whole motto of our series is, we are saved to follow. Follow King Jesus. Follow a new ruler. We are citizens of a new kingdom. I honestly believe, as we announce today in 21st century Coventry, a gospel of salvation, yes, but allegiance to King Jesus, it will get people's attention. I have an amazing boss called King Jesus who died for me, who went to that cross for me, but I follow him every day in the power of the Spirit of God. And he wants you to follow him as well. And one day he's coming back to take the whole world to himself. He's going to bring the whole cosmos and his kingdom will be complete. And he wants you to be part of that. Now that's cool. So it came to this abrupt end. And I don't know, imagine starting something then not being able to complete it to where you really wanted it to be. I'm usually like that with DIY. It's okay, you can laugh. There's nothing more frustrating for other people if you start something and don't finish it either, is there? But it's true. And Paul had to carry on with the journey. So he goes to Berea, then he's going on to Athens, and then he's going on to Corinth. And so he's carrying on with the journey. And so they've left these fledgling Christians in Thessalonica with Caesar's kind of patriarchs and all of the rulers and all of that pressure and the riot, still kind of people talking about the news of the riots in Jason's house. What would happen to this church? How are they going to cope? I've probably ruined their lives. What's Paul thinking? They were on his mind all the time. Even though he was in Berea and he knew it was right. And he went to Athens then in 17, in Acts 17. You can see the story of his second mission journey. Then he's in Corinth. He's always got his people on his mind. It's so frustrating, I can tell you as a pastor, when you know people are hurting and you can't quite get to them or something. Or something's not, you just can't do it. Because we are not the fix. And sometimes God has got to teach us as believers or pastors or chaplains or whatever it is we are. We are not the fix. But is it fair God has left this puppy church to the Roman authorities? Maybe they're just going to disband and it just wasn't there long enough, you know? And what's going to happen? Paul's thinking that they've moved away from their allegiance to the temples, to Caesar. What's going to happen to this church? Maybe they'd have been better off without. I'm not saying Paul thought that at all. But you know, maybe Paul was thinking, you know, maybe I've really caused a problem. You know, we can feel so helpless sometimes when we see someone in pain and we hear news. But can I say, pray and pray and pray again. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. But you know, just how often, how many of you have been encouraged just at the right time? What I'm going to do today is an introduction to the whole thing. How many of you have been encouraged just at the right time? You felt so low and you've heard a song or there's been a word or a psalm and you've just felt, wow, Lord, that is for me. Maybe on the radio, maybe even here or wherever in your own reading time. There's been something that has encouraged you, a conversation with somebody. And what happens, you see, Paul is in Corinth and Silas and Timothy come from Macedonia, it tells us. In Acts 18, verse 5, they come from Macedonia to tell Paul what's going on in the church at in Thessalonica. He's worried sick about them. He's praying for them, but he's worried about them. And you know what he hears when they come? Paul, they're doing great. They are dynamite. Their faith has been reported all over the world. I mean, this is a young church. They haven't been doing this very long. This is supernatural following. It's only and ever can be supernatural following. I can't follow in my own strength. It's not about my brain or my willingness. It's about the Spirit of God who says, I can help you follow. Stop striving. But they're doing great. And Paul, they're not fed up of you for leaving. They realize why you had to go. In fact, Paul, they missed you. This was the message that came to Paul in Corinth. They really missed you. That's lovely. I came in today and someone came up to me and said, Keith, I really missed you. I won't embarrass them, but I just want to say, that's so encouraging for me when someone says that. They're viral, Paul. This church at Thessalonica that the Lord used us to plant is amazing. They're just really going under the cost, but they are really going for it. We've got a couple of questions. Because you know when he spoke about Jesus coming back? Well, a few of their friends and family, because of the persecution, they've actually been killed. They've paid the ultimate cost, and some have just died of natural causes. And they're worried about these people. Well, what happens to them when Jesus comes back, the people who have died already? Paul, that's a question they've got already, and we'll get on to that as we go through our series. What happens to people? And so, if you've listened to that for 10 minutes, you now know the background to 1 Thessalonians. And Paul sits down with joy in his heart and says, I'm going to write them a letter and just tell them what I feel about them. I'll answer some of the questions, but I'm going to write 1 Thessalonians. And that's what he does. He writes this amazing letter. But can I just say, and I'll be brief today, how does Paul encourage a church that is getting battered? How can I encourage you as a believer? If you're getting battered and you're wondering where God is sometimes, and if you can carry on because you feel so false. Does anyone here feel occasionally a bit of a fraud singing songs? Giles, yeah, I was going to mention you. Yeah, no, I wasn't, but you do, Giles. No, brilliant. I love that. This is about transparency. Josh as well. This is good. I think we all do, to be fair. There's a sense in which we sing a line and then go, hang on a minute, but what about me? You make a way for everybody else, but I don't feel you doing that. God can cope with our angst. And so Paul encourages the church here in his letter. He wants them to encourage them to keep going in the face of the worst oppression. I'm not talking about breaking a fingernail. We're talking about, or maybe having one or two issues in a church building. I'm talking about people coming after you because you're a Christian and putting you in prison and even you paying the most expensive price, your own life. They haven't long been Christians. This would be easy for them just to turn back and say, or maybe I didn't mean it. But something has happened in their hearts. And so, how does Paul encourage the church? Firstly, we see he encourages them by reminding them of the gospel that they responded to. Let me just bring this up. We always thank God for all of you and continue to mention you in our prayers. We remember you before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance in the Holy Spirit. And my tablet's decided just to go pop, but that's fine. I know it. And Paul wants to remind them of the gospel, the original message that they responded to. And it's beautiful. Your faith in God has become known everywhere, says Paul to the church in his letter. We do not need to say anything about it. He says, when you came to Christ, it was amazing. They reported what kind of reception you gave us. I remember now how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. What Paul says to them is, I remember when you heard the good news about Jesus, the life, death, resurrection and return of Jesus. You were transformed. You turned from these idols to serve the living God. When people come to Jesus, it is transforming. I get this thing. I feel so sorry for people who have been brought up in church all their lives. But I still think there is a time when you really see Jesus for the first time and go, wow, I understand. I'm forgiven, Lord. Thank you so much that you're my boss. I see the need, Lord. I thank you that you give me eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, that you're coming back, that you call me into your kingdom. And what Paul says to the Thessalonians is, when I came, I'm going to keep you on track and encourage you. Remember the gospel that you first responded to when you were totally transformed. Now, for this church, it's literally weeks or a couple of months or so, maybe a few months. It's not too difficult. But for many of us in this room who have been doing church since we were an egg, have you lost the wonder of the gospel? Have you? Have you lost the wonder of your sins forgiven, of eternity with Christ Jesus, of a new life in Jesus where the Spirit of God can give you a new life today, who comes and lives inside of you? And King Jesus, who you now serve as your boss, is coming back for his church. Thank you, Jesus. This is why we do this. So primarily, Paul encourages the church in Thessalonica by saying, remember the gospel you responded to when you were completely transformed. So how can we be encouraged today? Remember that first day when you really knew Jesus was Lord. Do you know Jesus is Lord today? Have you bowed your knee today? Do you remember that? I'll never get tired of saying it. I'll say it a million times. I'll try not to exaggerate. When I came to Jesus, 1,000,000,000 horses wouldn't stop me from standing on a platform like this and sharing that Jesus was my king. I remember within 6 weeks I was on a school assembly platform sharing it with the same people I borrowed cars with when I was younger. Ask me later. See, he encourages the people. He encourages them by saying, I want to encourage you by just knowing when you responded, it was real. It was authentic. You turned. I saw transformation. Don't you start getting religious on me. I saw real Jesus in you. And if you haven't, I want you to crave that today and say, Jesus, have I had real Jesus? We can have church and never have real Jesus. That's really true. Jesus wants to come now and say, I want you to be my child. I want to adopt you. Beautiful, beautiful language. So we keep going by remembering the gospel. How else do we keep going? By looking at the examples of others. Maybe I can model, you and I, we said last week, can model to each other. Paul says in chapter 2, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, we cared for you. We loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. You remember our hard work, etc., etc. You are witnesses of how we dealt with you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. So we can be encouraged as believers today to keep going by recalling the gospel, by seeing one another, encouraging each other, and seeing the image of Jesus being formed in each other. And saying to someone, wow, I see that in you. I see Jesus in you. Thank you so much. None of us are perfect, but isn't it encouraging if someone says, wow, you so blessed me? We keep going under pressure. Paul's writing this letter, chapter 1. Remember the gospel, chapter 2. Just remember the examples of others. This keeps you going. And chapter 3, do you know, Paul says this. We can keep going by realizing that suffering for Jesus is normative. It's part of the call. In fact, suffering, if we suffer in this life and for Christ, it aligns us with all those who have gone before, and above all, today, communion, with Jesus himself. Suffering is not something to be prayed away. It's something to be brought in as a character former. And so I'm encouraged by the fact that so many people say to me, "It's God picking on me. This is terrible. I mean, my life's awful. Why has this happened to me?" And that's why we have to be careful in singing, when we rejoice in goodness, when we rejoice in our healing, when we rejoice in getting that job, whatever, because you can guarantee there are others in the room who didn't get healing, who didn't get that job. And so we're not doing a carte blanche singer here, whatever goes wrong in your life, God's going to fix it. That's not what the gospel is. But we recognize God's hand when he does. But also through our suffering, he shapes us. And Paul encourages chapter 3 of the church, and some in 2 as well. He says, "I want to encourage you because you've been suffering. It's been awful for you. But you know what? You are in good company. You really are." Chapter 3, "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that you would be persecuted." Can you see what this discipleship whole thing at the beginning of a believer's life is about? It doesn't leave the suffering and the return of Jesus till they've been a Christian 30 years. Week 1, guess what? Life, death, resurrection, return of Jesus, and you're going to suffer. No wonder we have so many flaky believers, generally speaking now, across the world who give up because they think God's not shown up. They don't know why suffering happens in their life. They don't see it in Scripture. It's completely there. In chapter 2, he mentioned it as well. "My brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered in Jerusalem and Judea. They killed the Lord Jesus as well, and the prophets." You see, suffering, says Paul, to this fledgling baby church, unites us to God's people everywhere. And more importantly, suffering unites us to Jesus. Can you see the gem of suffering? I'm not trying to ask you to volunteer for it, by the way. Who would do that? But to wave it away, I understand this thing. But to say, "Lord, I know you're forming something of Jesus. When I suffer, I'm aligning myself with the people of God throughout the whole history of his movement of the kingdom. And above all, I'm becoming like Jesus himself." And we have a great high priest, says the Hebrews writer, who is completely able to empathize with our weaknesses, for he himself was tempted in every way, yet was without sin. What a beautiful thing. We have one now. Jesus is alive today. He's praying at the right hand of the Father through you, through your suffering and your trials. So how can I keep going as a Christian today, as a young church, a Christian in the church at Thessalonica? I remember the gospel. I remember its transforming power. Remind each other of the gospel. I'm so encouraged by the walk of other people, how other people follow Jesus as well. You encourage me. And suffering in context, perspective, really helped me. Paul writes this letter. And you can be encouraged, Thessalonica, church at Thessalonica, as you nurture a community of love and holiness. You're doing great today. We're nearly through. Nurture, fourthly, a community of love and holiness. For God, chapter 4, 7, did not call us to be impure, but to live a set-apart life for Jesus. Do you know when you come to Jesus, what doesn't happen is you live the same life, but you just have an insurance policy for heaven. That's not what it is. It's totally transformative in every area without exception. Completely, the Spirit of God, when you say, "Jesus, I want to follow you. Thank you for the cross. It comes to live inside of your heart. This sounds really odd, I know. But it's true. And it's happened to millions of people all over the world and people in this room who now love and follow Jesus. And if you don't do that, I invite you today to repent. Turn around from your old life. Thank him for the cross. Follow your new King and Master, King Jesus. And be servant of the King. He's the best boss you'll ever have. And he calls you now to follow him wholeheartedly, 100%, without exception. And so Paul says to the church, now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. If God's love's in here, guess what? It spills out. I'm always suspect of people who are unloving as a permanent characteristic and say they love God. Jesus put it better than me. He says, how can you love God and you don't love people? He says, it's impossible. Oh, you can see. That's crazy. It doesn't make sense to me, said Jesus. In fact, you do love all of God's family, 4:10, throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so, to love each other more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Don't be a rebel. Don't be in the riot. Your favorite word on a Sunday morning, finally. How can we encourage? I know it's Jesus, really. How can we encourage each other? If you're a battered Christian today, and I'm not talking about as in like a chip shop sort of battered. If you are really up against it, really feeling it, genuinely, the church at Thessalonica have gone before you. These were babies, and they were known all over the world for their love and authentic transformation. Because the ultimate thing which has got me when I was 16 years old, this was really got my attention. My Uncle Alan told me, Keith, you need forgiving. Remember he stole that car? Yeah, that was ages ago, Uncle Alan. He didn't say that too much, but he was like, Keith, you need forgiveness. You need. All of us do. And I ran to the cross and says, yes, Lord, no one needs to tell me I'm a bad boy. And I ran to the cross. But what got me was my uncle telling me day one, and King Jesus is coming back. And I was like, wow. What? Really? Yep. He's coming back. So the final thing today, and we'll bit by bit by bit by bit over the coming weeks, we can be motivated to keep going in the toughest of times in our lives, be motivated by the fact that our King, King Jesus, is coming back. He's going to return. Isn't that great? I think it's better than that. I think it's really great. I can't wait for Jesus to come back. My wife's absolutely desperate for Jesus to come back. It's not because she's married to me. I don't think, anyway. So it's we are praying daily, each morning, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. But tinged with the sadness of those in our family and friends who don't know Jesus yet. That's what checks the spirit. And what I love about 1 Thessalonians, just in case you think it's a passing reference, the return of King Jesus is mentioned in every single chapter, all five. I think Paul wants us to know about it. Isn't it great? He's coming back. Chapter 5, I've just picked that one. For you know very well, it's often called the day of the Lord when he comes back, will come like a thief in the night while people are saying peace and safety. That was a bit of a dig at the Romans who declared a Roman peace. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman. And they will not escape, no one. But you, brothers and sisters in Jesus, you are not in darkness so that this day when the Lord comes back should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like other people who are asleep, even in churches. But let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Listen to this. It's at the end of 5. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, judgment of God, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep in the ground, whatever way you want to put that, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Jesus is coming back. And the more I see the problems in Iran, the problems with Syria, where a lot of the Old Testament prophecy about Syria becoming a ruinous heap, that's never happened, Damascus. It's in Isaiah 17. Not far away. These are all part of God's story, his story, history. And I think this encourages all of us today. If you feel depressed, like giving up, you would identify as a Christ follower, but you struggle, which is the vast majority if we're honest. We can be encouraged. Remind each other of the gospel, that message we responded to. Seek to model to others what it means to follow King Jesus. Acknowledge each other's suffering, reminding ourselves we are in great company, even the Lord himself. Seek to nurture a community of authentic love and one that strives to live lives worthy of God set apart. And ultimately keep in mind and close to our hearts the return of King Jesus. Now, if you're not encouraged by that, I don't know what. Paul wrote that letter to the church at Thessalonica and says, you're doing great. Be encouraged. And I want to encourage you today. We're going to, I love communion. We're going to sing a song as we lead into it. But if you think about it, I don't know if you've ever taken communion before. There may be one or two who haven't. It doesn't matter. I just want to say to you, this is what Jesus himself and the Apostle Paul commanded us to do as Christians often. It's in the Bible. And we do this in remembrance of what Jesus has done on the cross. The fact that he came and lived a perfect life. He died an awful death in my place on the cross. And then he conquered death and rose again. And he's coming back to completely consummate, to bring his whole kingdom under his rule. That's the movement we're part of. That's what you've joined this morning. You're looking at, if you're in church, you don't join it by coming to church. That's what you're looking at if you're not a believer this morning. A community of struggling people who are not perfect, but who know someone who is. And every time we look at this table, maybe like the church at Thessalonica, it reminds us of the gospel. Doesn't it? It reminds us of why we do what we do. It reminds us of those who've gone before, the lives of and the perfect life of Jesus. We can be encouraged by his example. It reminds us that ultimately when we suffer in our day-to-day lives, we are in great company with the Lord Jesus who suffered as well. It's not unusual. Don't consider it strange, says James. And it really reminds us to develop and nurture, because we inspect ourselves, the Bible says, before we take it. Develop and nurture a community of love and set apartness, a different sort of living. And Jesus also said, I want you to do this until I come back. It reminds us of the return of Jesus. This is a perfect example of how the Thessalonians would have been encouraged in their letter. So we're going to partake in this now. Maybe we can have a song to lead us into that. If you're not sure you're a Christ follower yet, maybe you'd allow the elements just to pass, but use it as an opportunity to say, Jesus, forgive me. I don't know very much about this, but I want to be your child. I want to go your way from now on. And with the help of others who are trying as well, by your Spirit's power, show me what it means to be a Christ follower in my school, in my home, in my street, in my workplace. I want to represent you well as your ambassador. And King Jesus, come back. And I want you, when you come back, I want you to say, Keith, Chris, whoever it is, Jace, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what I want to hear. He's the only one I serve. And he invites you now. It's an open invitation for you to reject, to come to Jesus right now. I'm going to pray. So if the band can come up, I'm going to pray. Thank you very much. I'm going to pray that the Spirit of God puts something in your heart now to turn to Jesus. If you've never said this prayer ever in your life, I'm going to say it. And if you can mean that in your heart as well, then come and see me or someone you came with afterwards and say, I've started following Jesus and I want to know what that looks like. So would you pray with me now, please? Just bow your head. Thank you, King Jesus. Because of what you have done, we can be even here today. And I thank you for the church of Thessalonica, that baby church that kept going because Holy Spirit, you empowered them to. And I pray, Lord God, I thank you so much for the cross that you came, you stepped into history as a baby. We've just celebrated that. But you'd lived a perfect life. So by the time, Lord, you went to the cross, you were a perfect sacrifice. I could never have lived that life in 1,000 lifetimes. And then you went to the cross for me, for God so loved Keith, for God so loved Mary, for God so loved Jane, for God so loved whatever your name, that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him, if they believe in him, what he did, they will not perish, be judged on that day, but have eternal life. And Lord, I want a citizen of your kingdom now. I want to experience it now. And I want to live for you as my new boss. Help me, would you? Forgive me. I repent. I turn around in my mind, in my body, in my actions. And I pray you'll transform me that my faith might be reported to others. I pray, King Jesus, that you'll take control of this, your life, that you gave me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer, don't leave here hoping to work something out. Come and see us. We'd love to help you on your journey. And we're going to sing before our community. You've got one song here. Great. And then the stewards are going to come. I think it'd be good to hold on to the juice. Is that possible, Derek? What we'll do is you'll get a little bit of bread. Take that. That represents the body of Jesus. And then broken for us. Take that as you receive it. When you get a little cup with juice in it, that represents it's not alcoholic, so don't worry. What you can do is you can just hold that and we'll drink it together as a sign of our unity in the body of Christ. That we are all forgiven. We're all in the same boat. We are all servants and subjects of the greatest King ever, King Jesus. So just hold on to the cup as you receive. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.